Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for thy word. We are glad that you preserved it where we can trust and I believe in it, rely upon it, know that it is your words. Lord, we pray now that you'd just help us to bring the message that you put on our heart. And Father, I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened to the things that you would have us to know. And help us not try to understand it, but just believe it. And everything that's accomplished, we'll give you the praise for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want you to notice something in verse 22. He says, for as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So if I put up on the board and I just do it this way, I'm going to let that be Adam here. All men are born in Adam. But over here would be Christ. And I know I'm no artist, nothing like that, but just let that represent Adam and Christ. Death over here, you have in Adam is death. In Christ is life. Everybody in this building, you're on one side or the other. There are no in-between. You're in Adam or you're in Christ. No doubt about it. This Adam would be the old man that you got that's referred to in the Scripture. This would be a new man. That's referred to in the Scripture. This new man would be the Lord Jesus Christ. We refer to it as the body of Christ, his body. You're either saved or you're lost. Now look with me in Galatians. Now we just went through the 4th of July, celebrating the independence of our country and our freedoms. And a lot of people down this country. And I don't agree with a lot of things that goes on in this country. I believe a lot of our freedoms that we have been taken away from us. I believe we've lost freedom. But having said all of that, I still believe this is the greatest country that you can live on the planet. I don't agree with our government. I don't agree with a lot of things they do. I agree with some of the things that they do. A lot of the things I think that go on, the laws that are made, is just to generate money and taxation and all of that. But still yet, I thank God for the freedoms that we have in this country. I'm glad that I'm free to preach the Word of God rightly divided. I'm glad that we can assemble ourselves here in Charity Bible Church and other churches around the world or the country without being afraid of being put to death, without being afraid of somebody coming into our assembly and hauling us off to prison or to burn us at the stake or stone us. As I was thinking about freedom, I began to read about some of the Christians. Whitecliffe. John Whitecliffe and 1300s translated from the Latin Vulgate the first English Bible. Some 300 years or a couple hundred years after his death, they hated that man so much they exhumed his body, dug up his bones, and burned them and scattered his ashes into the river and done away with his gravesite. From that man, he started, you'll have this book you've got. I read about Cloverdale. I read about the early Christians. When I talk early, I'm talking way back there, hundreds of years ago. If you want to see some of the things, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Where they tied up people. They took animal hides and soaked them in water and wrapped them around the Christians and sewed them up and let them out into the woods with their hands bound with hides. And as the hides dried, it literally shrunk and suffocated them. Animals tore them apart. They couldn't defend themselves. They couldn't get nothing to eat, drink no water. Their hands was bound and sewed in animal hides. Suffered because they was reading an English translation of the Bible. They took them out and hollowed out logs and laid their children and their families, and they got saws one on one side, a cross cut, and cut them in half while they were alive. I think about all of this stuff. We think we suffer if we don't have the perfect temperature. We're thinking we're suffering if we get up and we just can't decide out of the 50 outfits that we have to wear, which one to wear. We think we suffer in this country. Folks, we have freedoms that we take for granted. And I thank God for them. And I realize a lot of our freedoms that we have is an illusion. We have a freedom of speech, but yet a lot of times that's an illusion. If you want to think how free you are, just say the wrong thing and let the wrong people hear it, and you'll find out what happens to you. So we live in a country. We can find fault, but we live in a country where we do have some freedoms that we ought to thank God for. I'm glad that me and my family, my wife and I, can sit down in the living room or the kitchen and open a King James Bible and begin to read it and talk about it. A freedom. But I want to talk to you today about real freedom. There, I've seen the sign. It said only the real freedom's in Christ. That's true. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5. Notice in verse 1, stand fast, therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Look with me in verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now before I go on, let me say this. Religion today wants to bind people, and they use the law and the Bible to bind people to their religion or to a system, and they place them back under that bondage to that system, to that religion, in order to control them. Christ has set you free. Now notice this thing, the binding force. We are bound by something. Look what he says there in verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, freedom. Only use not this freedom, this liberty, for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Turn with me, look in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look back with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And notice in Romans chapter 13 verse 8. Romans 13 verse 8. We have a binding force. That force is love. That binds us together. Look what he said in verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Do you know what the only thing you owe to me, to you, to one another, is to love each other? Now love has an emotion, but love is not an emotion. Love is doing. Love is giving. And there is emotion in it, but love, true love, is doing. Somebody say a marriage is 50-50. No, no, no. A marriage is 100-100. A marriage is each one trying to make the other happy and giving 100 or 120% to see that that's done. It's not give and take. It's both parties giving. That's love. When you have one taken and not given, then you don't have unity. You don't have a bond in force. You have a disaster on your hands. So what do? We owe no man anything but to love one another. That's the debt that you have to each other. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Our debt to each other is to love one another. Now what is a debt? A debt, that which is due from one person to another. It's an obligation. You have been obligated by God to love one another. We are debtors. Looking back in chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. Paul said in verse 14, a debtor is one who owes something to somebody. You owe it to each other. There's something that you owe to one another. And that's to love them. Look what he said in verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, I'm a debtor. I owe it to people. To do what, Paul? They loved them enough that he wanted to preach the gospel to them. That's our motive as a believer in Christ, is to love one another. We love one another. We love the world. We love each other. Why? How do we prove it? By doing for them and preaching the gospel to them and helping one another as members of the body of Christ. Now, I want you to notice something. We're talking about freedom. I'm free. Look with me and notice in Romans chapter 6. So our binding force that we're in debt to each other is to love one another and to love the world, to preach the gospel to them. But notice in Romans chapter 6, I'm free. Notice what he says in there in verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Look down with me to verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. I'm free from sin. I'm free from condemnation. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Folks, there's condemnation here and out of. They're condemned over here. But in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. I'm free from sin. Sin brings death and destruction. Now notice how we free from sin. Look back in verse 7 of Romans 6. He said, therefore he that is dead is freed from sin. Well, how in the world you're dead? How'd you die? Look back in the chapter. Notice back in the chapter in verse, 7. We're freed from sin. Look back with me to verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Verse 2. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Or we're dead to sin because we've been baptized into Christ's death. We've been identified in Christ's death. Jesus Christ went to the cross, and there he died. He didn't die his death. He died your death. And God, you trust Christ as your Savior. God identifies you into the death of his Son. Look on. He said there in verse 6, back in the passage of verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. You know, you notice all this, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, we're buried with him by baptism into death. It's always into. Folks, water never puts you in anything. That's a spiritual baptism. It's God Almighty in AD 33. He knew who would trust his Son. And by his foreknowledge, he identified the body of Christ and all of its members as being in his death, burial, and resurrection. You are dead. You understand? Over here, you were dead in Adam. You died right here. You're resurrected here. Look what he says. Verse back in the passage. He said, therefore we're buried, verse 4, we're buried with him by baptism into Christ, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we have life over here. Newness of life. We walk. What is that newness of life? Verse 13. In verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Your members of your physical, moral body as doing right things unto God. Now how do you do that? God gives you the power to do it. Look in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, notice what he said in verse, jump in verse 11. For if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Okay? The Spirit of God dwells in every believer. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Look back in verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken, bring to life your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He gives you life to your mortal body. He gives the power to yield your members, your hands, your eyes, your ears, everything to do right things. Righteousness. Go back in the chapter 6. Verse 13, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. God would have you to do good works unto him. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Now folks, we're free. And I ain't being free to get out and live any old way that you want to be. Now you can do it. But somewhere, you're going to, Paul said, I bring my body under subjection. Lest while I preach to others, I myself should be made a castaway. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed. Somewhere people are going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. Needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're workmen. We are laborers together with God in the body of Christ, in this new man. We owe to each other to love one another and serve one another in the body of Christ. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. Unto what kind of works? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, the good works that he created. Turn to Titus. Look in Titus. In Titus, notice what he said. And I'm just going to jump in chapter 2. Verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness. Come down to chapter 3, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject, verse 1, to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Verse 14, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may be not unfruitful. Maintain good works. Verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Folks, we're not saved by good works. God don't accept us because we have goodness. God doesn't see us as good people. He sees us as sinners, and Jesus Christ died for us. But after we're saved, we're to walk in the good works of the Lord, and we're to walk in the shadow of His cross, and in the grace of God, manifesting the glory of God in a mortal body. God was manifest in the flesh. And you know how you manifest the Lord? I mean, people can't look at you and say, I see Jesus in you. I used to hear people say that. I was always, you know, I went for a long time doubting my salvation, and they'd say, well, you shouldn't doubt your salvation. I see Jesus in you. Well, they never saw Jesus in me. They wouldn't know Jesus if they did see Him. If they try to look at Him as the pictures is painted on the wall and find Jesus, I mean, you say, oh, they people come up, you see it on the, they see a cloud and say, there's Jesus, and it looks like a long-haired Antichrist. All that stuff is not Jesus. I can't see Jesus in nobody. You know how Jesus is manifest in your flesh? By words that come out of your mouth. By preaching. In fact, look back with me and notice in chapter 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter, 5. In 2 Corinthians, no, chapter 4, I'm sorry. In chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11. For we which are alive are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Well, how's that going to work, Paul? So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Here it is. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. You know how Jesus is manifest in your mortal flesh? Through speaking. Through words coming out of your mouth, having the message of the gospel of the grace of God, having a testimony of what Christ did for you, and how that He died for you, and giving the gospel out and preaching Christ. That's how Christ is manifest in your life. That's what Paul says in Philippians. Look over in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, you say, well, what's all that got to do with freedom? Folks, we have a message, and we're free to preach it. We ought to preach it. We have the greatest message of any generation. Look what he says in Philippians there. He said in verse 20, chapter 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And he don't know what to choose from. He said in verse 23, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless to abide with you in the flesh is more needful. And he talks about it. Come down to verse 27. Only let your conversation, as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Folks, it's by preaching. Notice what he says. I don't have time to go through all of that, but the manifestation of Christ is in the gospel of Christ. God will have me, all men, to be saved and come under the knowledge of the truth. And it's our job as members of the body of Christ, and we have the freedom to do it, to get the message out to everyone we can. We're free from sin. Now, you know what sin is in that old Romans chapter 6? If you'll notice, it's S-I-N. Christ died for our what? Huh? Sins. Before we read in Romans 6, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Y'all know this by heart. I quote it all the time. Verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be, what? Sin. For us who knew no sin. He didn't have that nature. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Notice in Romans, back in Romans now. And in Romans, notice he says in verse, sin. Christ was made sin. You know what he is? You know what sin is? Sin is that old nature. Sin is that old man. That produces the sin. The sins of the flesh come from the old man that you were born into. And that old man has fruit, and them fruit is what called sins. We're free from sin. The old man that you was in Adam, your old nature is dead. Why? Christ became what you are and died. Well, that's good preaching, whether you believe it or not. I'm free from that old man. That old man is gone. He's dead. What am I to do? We're freed from him because of death. Don't let him reign. Look at Romans chapter 6 again. Don't let him reign in your body. Don't let him reign over you. Don't let him have power over you. Don't let him dominate you. He's dead. Look in Romans verse 12. Romans 6, 12. Let not sin, that old nature, therefore reign in your mortal body, that old body, that ye should obey it, the old man, in the lust thereof. Look back in verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, all of the body, the sins of the flesh, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, the old man, we should not serve him. Don't let him reign over you. What are you to do? Verse 11. Like reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the newness of life. Thank God he's dead, but I'm alive unto God. Now God means something to me. Now the Word of God means something to me. My life's eyes have changed. I have a different attitude. I'm alive unto God. I'm in newness of life. I don't have to listen to the old man. Now he pops his head up every once in a while. You know what that word reckon is? My mama used to use it all the time. I said, Mama, can I go somewhere? I reckon. You ever heard that? You say, well, I reckon you can. You count it as so. You know that to be true. You're free from that old man. He died in Christ. You have a new life with the Lord. Walk in that newness of life. And that's walking in the Spirit. He's crucified. And we are alive unto God. You have a new life. Free. Freed from sin. Freed from condemnation. Freed from death. Death will never touch you. You'll never die as a Christian. Death has no sting with you. The sting of death is sin. Old man's done died. Death's done stung him. Where did it happen? In AD 33, when Christ was on the cross, the old man that I am was on there, and that old, the law condemned me. The law said I must die. The law put me to death. I'm dead in Christ. One other passage, and I'm going to let you go, I promise. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Don't let Him reign in your life. Don't let Him control you. When the urges of the old man of the flesh want to dictate to you what to do, count Him as dead. You know how you can walk with the Lord in the Spirit? Well, get in Romans through Philemon and begin to read them. And read them. And read them. You know what the fullness of the Spirit of God, you know what it is to be filled with the Spirit today? Colossians says, let the Word of Christ dwell in your hearts. Be not drunk on wine wherein excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. A drunk man on wine is under the influence of that alcohol, and he does things that the alcohol dictates him to do. You know what it is to be filled with the Spirit? It's when you've read the Word of God, Romans through Philemon, and the Romans through Philemon have an influence on your life, and you try to walk according to what Romans through Philemon has, God has given you to do, and you walk in light of that Scripture. That's being filled with the Spirit of God. That's walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit's in you, and the Spirit is over here in Christ. What he says in Galatians chapter 2, he says there, verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law. What do you mean through the law? Well, the law put me to death, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, the old man. Nevertheless, I live. Over here, new man. You see, folks, in the Bible, you have an inner man and you have a new man. The inner man is inside your body. The new creature, the new man, is the body of Christ that God's creating today, and you are in there. And that's where the Spirit of God is. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There He is dwelling in you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm over here. Why? Because I have believed this. You believe what I just preached to you about the cross, and you trust that, you walk out of here a saved individual. Thank you for being here today. I hope and trust you.